Well, we're in Luke chapter 10, picking up where we left off last week, beginning in verse 17. And we're going to talk about something today that Christians can sometimes take for granted and lose sight of the significance of. What is this thing I'm talking about? Salvation. And maybe even as you heard me say that word, you thought to yourself, oh yeah, that is important. When was the last time you actually thought about your salvation and how incredibly awesome it is to know that your name is written in heaven? Well, last week, we looked at the story of when Jesus sent out 72 of his followers to do essentially the same thing that he had sent his 12 disciples out to do earlier in Luke chapter 9, to tell people that the kingdom of God has come, to heal people, to cast out demons. And we were challenged last time to respond to the same command to go that Jesus had given to them. Jesus told his followers to pray for God to send more laborers into the harvest field because the harvest field is plentiful, but the workers are few, he said. And it's as true today as it was in Jesus' day. There is a tremendous amount of work to do and too few people to get it done. We need to be actively involved in sharing our faith in Jesus Christ with other people, just like they were in their day. So today we're picking up the story with the return of those 72 disciples who Jesus had sent out last week, and they're reporting back now to Jesus how their trip went. So in verse 17 of Luke 10, it says, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" They returned with joy. The disciples, they returned from their ministry mission, and they're very excited because of all the wonderful and amazing things that God has done through them. People were receptive to the preaching that they had done. God had healed people through them, and even demons had submitted to their authority as they cast them out of people. Being used by the Lord in the life of another person can be one of the most exhilarating things there is. The disciples, they've had the opportunity to be used many times in many people's lives over the last several days. It has been an indescribable experience for them, and they are on this euphoric high as they return to tell Jesus all that has happened. I just want to encourage you to make yourself available to be used by the Lord in the lives of other people. It can be very rewarding. But I also want to warn you beforehand that it can get messy. It can be inconvenient. It can be hard. You can be taken advantage of. You can be taken for granted. It can cost you a considerable amount of time and energy and money. It's not always easy to invest your life into the life of another person who needs you. These disciples of Jesus faced some difficulties on their trip. It wasn't peaches and cream the whole time for them. But when you see the grace of God working in the life of a person, in these changes that begin to take place in their life, and the healing and the restoration of things that are lost, I mean, it's awesome. And having the opportunity to participate in the good work of the Lord in a person's life, it makes all the other stuff worth it, even hot weather. They say, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They are particularly impressed with the power that they had over demonic forces in the name and the authority of Jesus. Well, why was this something that made such a strong impression on them? Demons are part of the invisible spirit world that was usually untouchable and uncontrollable by humans. These dark, invisible forces are often thought to be behind even the things that are going wrong in the world. I mean, they're responsible for all of it. But now these disciples have authority over these mysterious forces, and that's pretty heady stuff for them. Verse 18, Jesus replies to him and he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." He's probably referring to what has taken place in the spiritual realm through the ministry of his followers as they have been sent out and been doing all this stuff. Satan fell like lightning, meaning suddenly and unexpectedly. Jesus, he's able to see the severe impact that the ministry of his disciples have been having on the demonic realm. We go, wow, this sounds pretty crazy, Jeff, talking about the demonic realm and the dark forces. But it's there, you guys. It's just that we, most of the time, just stumble through life ignoring it all. But these disciples, as they've been going out and they've spent these several days, they've made an impact on that world. And they've been changing what's been going on. And Jesus says, "I've seen it. You're making an impact. You are severely impacting the invisible world, not just the physical world. So in verse 19, he says here, he goes, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. He affirms with this figurative language the power that he has given them over this dark realm of Satan. And it was really a reality-shaking thing that has been taking place as the physical realm is having power and authority over the spiritual realm. See, it's a crossing over of dimensional lines in the opposite way that things normally operate. The spiritual usually wields power over the physical, but Jesus gives his disciples here power over this other realm. And in verse 20, he continues, he says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So as amazing as it was that the disciples had power over the demonic spirits, there's something far more amazing, far more important to have your name written in heaven, to have residence in heaven, to be saved for all eternity, to know God personally and to be his child, to know that one day you will live forever with God in heaven, your salvation. I want us to take note of the importance that Jesus places on our salvation here. The old Westminster Catechism asks the question, what's the chief end of man? Or what's the main purpose behind humanity's existence? And the answer that it gives is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We were created to know and to worship and enjoy God. All the other stuff is small potatoes compared to that. In Matthew chapter 7, this is an interesting passage that speaks about this very issue and it sheds some light on it. It's worth noting in verse 21, Jesus is speaking and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is an interesting teaching because is what Jesus is saying is it's not those who are doing good deeds in my name or in my Father's name. You could be casting out demons. You could be performing many miracles. He goes, but hey, do you know me? Do I know you? Is there a relationship there? It's vitally important that we never confuse a relationship with God and accomplishments done for God. They're not the same. And our accomplishments for God do not earn us entrance into heaven. It's something that God gives us as we know him. It's an outgrowth of our relationship with him. So verse 21, back in Luke 10, it says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus himself, he now overflows with joy as he thinks about what God the Father is doing in the world. God is revealing spiritual truth to the simple and the humble, those who are like little children, the receiving of spiritual truth and being used by God. It doesn't depend on natural talent and intellectual prowess. God was using ordinary folks. These 72 guys that Jesus sends out, God did amazing things through them. He used them in a powerful way. And it says this was the Father's good pleasure. He delights in doing that. No one knows who the Father is except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. The Father reveals the Son, and the Son reveals the Father. Verse 23, he continues, says, then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Many people, he said, had longed to see this day, the arrival of the Messiah. Prophets and kings and all of the great wise men and soothsayers throughout the ages had been looking forward to this day, but they never got to see it. But he says, but you get to see it. You're part of that day. So in 1 Peter 1:10, Peter writes about this same thing. He says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Searching intently with the greatest care, trying to discover when this was going to happen. It says it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Even the angels of heaven long to look into these things that God has done for humanity through Christ, how he has brought salvation to us. And what's the response that we're to have to this incredible salvation that we have been given, this great work that God has done on our behalf? Peter follows that up in the next couple of verses. In verse 13, he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So what's our response? We're to seek to live a holy life. We regard the days of the disciples who were walking with Jesus during his earthly life as a very significant time, and it indeed was. But the days that you are living in are significant too. We live in the days following the coming of the Messiah and his death for our sins and the resurrection from the dead and God pouring his Spirit out upon people. The days that we live in now were days from a distant future that the people of old could only dream of. Christian, do you realize the significance of the days in which you live? You live in the day of salvation. You live in the day of salvation. The day that everyone had looked forward to and hoped for all their lives, for centuries. You live in that day. In closing this morning, I want to say, value your salvation, Christian. It is more precious to you than anything this world could ever offer. People of old longed for the day that you and I live in. God delights in you. He takes pleasure in you. Take great pleasure in him. We were created to know him and to worship him and to enjoy him. Christian, your name is written in heaven. Think about that. Your name is written in heaven. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that your name is written in heaven, you can be. Jesus came to live and die and be resurrected on the third day so that you and I can have our sin forgiven and know God personally and have our name written in heaven. All you have to do is come to God like a little child, humble and recognizing your need, and you can be saved. So I leave you again this morning with that thought. Your name is written in heaven. Let's bow our heads. Father, we indeed take for granted something that those of ages past hoped and prayed for, studied intently to discover when it would happen. And here we are. We are living in that age. We are living in the day of salvation. And those who have come to you, Father, have their name even now written in heaven. God bless your people this week with just a fresh enlightenment and realization of just how precious their salvation is and what an incredible thing it is to know God personally, to be saved from our sin, be saved from death, to have an eternity in heaven to look forward to, and to know that even now in these days, our nature and our character are being transformed and molded into the image of Jesus Christ. Bless your people with this incredible thing this week, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.